So, David.
So, Michelle, how relaxed are you?
Not relaxed, because anyone who's ever done a snow holiday, I snowboarded, my family skied, will know that it's the most not relaxed.
Yeah, that's what I
saw. I was up at 6 a.m. on the mountain at 8, doing runs till 4, and then you crash out in bed by 7:30.
Yeah, well, look, I've had a thrilling time in our little break where I spent a lot of time with my chiropractor.
Oh, great.
As he snapped my back and I found out that I have hyperpronated ankles. So I'm pretty relaxed as well. Because
it sounds like a boomer condition.
The painkillers are kicking in right now.
Well, I actually did a little injury. I thought I was very clever on the snowboard. I was doing all kinds of park and, you know, gnarly vert stuff, and then I just tweaked my
ankle. And you accuse me
MCL.
Of sounding like a boomer, and you've just gone gnarly vert. Anyway, go on.
All right.
And what did you do?
I'm cool. The kids know who I am. And then I twisted my MCL a little.
It's just a little twist. Oh, and I became a semi-official Matilda.
Oh, yeah.
By helping one of the Matildas win Celebrity Theatre Sports. So, yeah.
Oh, okay, look at you.
Yeah, who sucks to you? It's been a great break. But, of course, as soon as you and I go, let's take a little break, because there's nothing going
Everything
on.
Everything happens.
Everything!
So, what we thought we'd do is we would tuck into the things that we missed while we were away.
Let's do that.
Yeah. Listening to I Spy, the holiday injury of Australian intelligence.
My
knee. My knee.
Can
I really?
Can I have that ice pack?
No, I need it.
Oh, I just need 5 minutes.
Are we getting old?
I'm just going. The morphine's kicking.
Hello and welcome to I Spy. My name is Michelle Stevenson. I'm here with David Callan. And look, a lot happened in the 2 weeks that we had off, so we thought we'd run through a few of them.
Yeah, let's go through it.
And just kind of break it down. And I think we have to start with, I mean, people fall out windows, out of windows, or they fall out of planes, in planes, planes crash.
Yeah, planes crash.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was, as I said, the least surprising dismissal that we've ever seen as Prigozhin.
Yes.
Good old Prigozhin, head of the Wagner Group, who was running that coup but not a coup a couple of months ago.
Everyone was so confused. And you know when everyone was like, oh, look, there's no bad blood between the two. Well, apparently there is.
Oh, well, that's the thing that's really fascinating about it, because there was that idea of there is no bad blood between them. But there's one thing that Putin does. Yep. When Putin gets on and says, you've betrayed me and I will get you for this.
Yeah.
You betrayed him and he will get you for this. Yeah. Right? That's the whole thing. And like Prigozhin, I think the interesting thing is when you understand Prigozhin, the man, and his background, he was a petty criminal in St. Petersburg.
Yeah.
And then he started running a restaurant that Putin walked into one day and liked the food.
Yeah.
So the next thing, Prigozhin is given the catering contract for the Russian army.
So random.
And then when somebody in the Russian army went, hey, guys, we should have a paramilitary, something like Blackwater in the United States and see what we can do there. Just come up with this little group of guys that do shit for us that we don't want to actually be caught doing ourselves. And the cook was the guy who threw his hand up in the air and went, I'll do that. Sounds like fun. Now, the thing about the Wagner Group is what he's created is this massive paramilitary.
Yes.
And this paramilitary, what's really interesting is the amount of work they're doing in Africa.
Right.
Right. So.
But, and let's be clear, most countries have these groups.
Yeah.
Off the books groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, look, to be
like private contractors, ex-military, and there's a lot of stuff that goes on that is orchestrated by governments, even ours, that we don't even know about because it's off the books groups like this.
There, you do need to have this silent arm of, you know, something basically. And the best way to describe it when it comes to Prigozhin is you need a hammer. And that's what the guy was. He would literally kill his own men with a sledgehammer if they betrayed him. So, again, the fact that this – like he sent a sledgehammer to the head of the EU Parliament to say, you're next if you keep messing with Russia in Ukraine. So the whole thing about it is it's like essentially Prigozhin got ahead of himself.
Yeah.
And like the reason he had the great thing is the reason the coup took place, and I only found this out recently, was Shoigu, the Russian
Sounds like a really nice rice wine.
It sounds like actually sounds like a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Oh, I got myself a Shoigu.
They all sound like Pokemon.
They all do, right? So Shoigu, who's the head of the Russian Defense Forces, basically turned around and said there will be no more private contractors, military contractors in Russia from, I think it was like July 3.
Right.
Or June 30 or something like that. He basically turned around and went, no more private military contractors. Now, the only force in Ukraine on the Russian side that had been making any ground was Wagner. So for Wagner to then be told, yes, sir, you don't exist anymore. All of you are now going to join the Russian army. Well, Prigozhin himself was like, no, I spent a lot of time building this. I'm not going to have you now dick it around and put it in with your guys.
Yeah, so someone got a little too ahead of themselves.
Had a tanty.
Yeah.
You know, took over Rostov-on-Don, headed to to Moscow, and that's probably when he got a phone call from Vladimir going, back the fuck up.
Or
now.
Maybe you're dead.
Yeah, if you stop now, all is forgiven. But you just go on television and say you're going to kill me. Well, I lie. Don't worry. That's just for the folks at home.
Yeah.
Right? He goes off to Belarus and goes into a hotel, but then stays on the ground floor.
Of course. Of course. You always stay on the ground floor.
Ground floor with windows that can't be opened.
No windows. I'll take the room without windows, please.
Yes. Now, here's the thing. He was traveling back and forwards between Moscow on his plane. And it's like, I can remember, I think it was Monica Attard, guest of the podcast.
Yes.
Who turned around and said, it'll happen within 6 months to a year. Well, Monica, you're absolutely right and slightly wrong, because that was a real quick turnaround.
It was a real quick turnaround. He should have just flown commercial, because that might have made more sense.
I don't think that would have bothered Vlad.
Oh, that's true. He doesn't care about mass casualties.
There was that whole thing of the MH flight going over Ukraine
before the war. And he's like, oops, wasn't us.
Oh, sorry.
So, you know, Wagner, you know, the plane has crashed and the Russians are like, look, we finished our investigations into the crash and the results are he's dead. No further questions, please.
No, nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, nothing more. But the thing is, Wagner, despite the fact that it's now supposedly banned in Russia, it's still incredibly powerful in Africa. It's working in Libya. It's in Sudan. It's in Mali. It's in the Central African Republic, which I think is formerly the Congo.
Yeah.
Right? So it's highly active, but what's really interesting is the way they're siphoning the money through it, in that they're not actually getting paid with money per se, but like
they're just getting to keep all the things that they steal.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Right? They're one of the things that they've done is they went into South Sudan, where the rebels basically turned around and went, look, here's all the gold from that mine we took.
Yeah.
So it's like they're not getting paid per se in money. They're getting given. And the
other
one is it's like, oh, by the way, look, there's a silver mine over there. You can have it.
Yeah.
Right. So they're kind of branching out these other things. And one of the things that the Wagner Group do, not only will they bring in their, it's like in the Central African Republic, they've turned around and gone, here's all the mercenaries you wanted. Mm. By the way, do you want us to work on your website? They do your social media for you as well.
Great.
Right. So this is like Wagner, despite the fact that Prigozhin is gone, Wagner is probably going to break up.
It was always bigger than Prigozhin.
Oh, yeah. There were definitely other oligarchs involved, but I think you're going to find that it's going to sort of be teased apart.
And interestingly, what we've seen now is the UK is set to prescribe it as a terrorist group, the UK government, meaning it'll be illegal to be a member or support the organisation.
US has already done it.
Yep.
And James Patterson, the LNP, I think he's the shadow minister for Home Affairs, I think he's basically turned around and said, excuse me, I think we need to declare it as a terrorist organisation.
Yeah.
And, you know, rightly so.
Yeah, because it's at the moment, we don't know what they're after, what they want, and who their leader is and who's controlling them.
They want money, and their leader is tacitly probably
Vladimir
Putin.
So they're basically pirates.
Yeah.
They're pirates.
Yeah, right? They're freelancers. Mm. Like the same way
Freelance pirates.
Yeah, freelance pirates. And very much like the way Blackwater was in Iraq. Mm. One of the things that, I mean, a lot of, and I've spoken to US military personnel that were there, and they just said they were cowboys. They literally just showed up and did what they wanted. And no one would stop them because private contractor, we don't answer to you. We answer to our boss. And that was, what was his name? Eric Prinz, right? Who then went into politics with Trump and he's never been seen again. But this is the thing. It's like these governments create these little areas of grey zone activity.
We love the grey zone.
But it's highly kinetic grey zone.
Yep. Now, another thing that kind of happened in the last couple of days is we've got a spy on the run.
Well, are we talking about our friend in the UK?
Yes.
This is real James Bond shit.
This is great.
This is very James Bond.
So James Bond.
I was quite surprised by it when you brought it up to me because I hadn't been paying attention. I'm a busy man talking to the Matildas. But anyway.
So busy.
He's a terrorist.
Yeah.
Essentially, he's a terrorist.
Yep.
But he escaped from Wandsworth Jail.
Yes.
He did the full, I love it, he did the full Cape Fear.
Yeah.
Strapped himself to the bottom of a truck.
Yes.
Did the full Robert De Niro.
Yep.
Yeah. Counselor.
Yeah.
Strapped himself under the truck, got driven out of the prison. By the time they realised he was gone, he was gone.
And they'd shut down motorways, which had caused huge queues at ports after his escape, trying to track him down. Now, he is accused of spying for Iran.
Yeah.
He's an ex-Royal Signals soldier, and he's only 21.
Daniel Khalif.
Only 21.
Only 21 years old. He's already been, as a Signals soldier, you can honestly know he'll have access.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing about Khalif is he's highly trained. Right. One of the things they basically said, literally, he's kind of like that James Bond character. He's been trained by the military. He's well-versed in intelligence, and he's working as a double agent for a foreign government.
Yeah.
And they put him in Wandsworth and made him a part of the kitchen staff.
Yeah, well, apparently there's a lot of questions that are being raised right now.
Well, a lot of questions will be raised about that because, you know what, one of the things you teach your intelligence officers in the military is how to get out of captivity.
Yeah.
Right, it's called, you know, I think it was called Escape and Evade.
Yeah. So, and basically officials are like, they think he's out of the country already on a fake passport.
Yep.
And they're really concerned on how he managed to break out in broad daylight and whether a network inside or outside the jail actually helped him. So there is a lot going on here, which I think is quite interesting.
Which is, this is a story that is going to get better and better as it uncovers. And I should imagine that in about 2 years, there'll be a short series come out from the BBC.
Oh, yeah. This probably has Netflix with David Tennant. This has Netflix written all over it.
So it's such a movie. But, you know, the escape itself is one of the great things that we are going to go, you know, but the backstory behind it, the fact that he was working for Iraq, or he was allegedly working for Iraq, I think the fact that he escaped and disappeared off the face of the earth is an indication that, yes, he probably was working for Iraq.
Iran.
Oh, Iran. Sorry, Iran, not Iraq, Iran.
Yeah.
Right, so he was definitely working for the other side. You dropped this one on me this morning.
Yeah.
Good on you. You did what I do to you.
Yeah.
And so I'm not fully versed in everything. But what's interesting is it's now created a big ruction in the UK about prison cuts.
Yeah.
Because they've been cutting funding to prisons, as all governments do.
Well, unless you're America and you privatise it and then it just becomes into a money-making machine.
And it becomes a machine, yeah. Now, the whole thing was Wandsworth is a lower security. It's not a maximum security prison. This guy was a trained intelligence officer, right? They basically somebody screwed up massively with
100%.
This one. And I do think it would have been partly, come on, he's one of our boys and he's only 21. Come on.
What harm could he come to?
What, he's just a sapper. What on earth could he possibly do?
Yeah.
Right? And sure enough, he's just gone, what I can possibly do is live the Daniel Craig lifestyle and get the hell out of your jail.
Yeah.
Right? So I love this story.
Yeah, I think we should follow this one over the next little while because I think more and more is going to come out. The other one that I thought was interesting, unless you have something.
No, I like this one. I know where you're going.
Chinese nationals posing as tourists to spy on military bases, which this is peak America.
Yeah.
So the FBI has tracked over 100 incidents of Chinese nationals posing as tourists to breach US military sites, according to a report by the FBI.
Just walking on board. Come here.
But, I mean, it makes sense. They just walk in and they're taking lots of photos.
You've got to remember how porous military bases can be.
And we have spoken about this before, kind of lightly touched on it.
Yeah.
But here we go. They've actually come out and said, no, this is actually
happening. This is actually happening. Now, look, to get onto a location like HMAS Watson, Watson's Bay here in Sydney, you know, down the end of the harbour, you can walk around there quite happily.
Yeah.
Right? It's not – and to be perfectly honest, really it's a naval training centre for bridge crews. So is there really that much that you're going to find out?
Well
– and you're not going to get into the actual secure areas because they're secure.
But those responsible, which have been dubbed gate crashers, range from Chinese nationals detected crossing into a US missile range in New Mexico, scuba divers caught swimming in murky waters near a US government rocket launch site in Florida, and several US officials recently told the Wall Street Journal that there's a growing trend which represents potential espionage threats.
But this is the thing. I mean, it comes down to the stupid question that I was asked when I first joined ASIO, right? Mm. What is the most important ism of the 20th century?
And tourism.
Yeah, and that was my smart ass answer, yes. Was tourism. But
how can
this
I forget?
Is the thing. We can get people into countries on a tourist visa, mm. right? So as long as you've got a fairly clean slate, right? And spies travel. They travel overseas for holidays. Certainly there are countries where you were, when I was working at ASIO, you were advised not to go to target countries. Don't go to Syria. Don't go to Iran, Iraq, Russia, or back then the Soviet Union. You weren't meant to go to those countries because they were targets. And if they were targets, you became a target within it. One of our guys walked into Syria, just decided he'd walk in there while he was on holidays and got busted.
Yeah.
And got out by basically turned around to a guard. He had $200 under the inner sole of his tennis shirt, right?
Mm.
And he took it out. Like, he was under house arrest. He was in a home. He was in a house. He wasn't in a jail, but he was under guard by a Syrian soldier. This is like back in the early 90s. And he basically turned around to this guy and held out $200 and went, mate, if you turn away, I'll give you $200. Guy put him in the boot of his car and drove him back to Istanbul.
Oh.
Right, because basically $200 in Syria back in the 90s was like $10,000.
So always carry cash in your shoe?
Is always. That, well, yeah. It's a little trick, but then again, people will take
your shoes. No one has cash anymore. I'd have to can you tap? Can you pay ID in?
Just walk up, put your foot next to the reader.
Can I tap it?
Everyone's looking at you. Where's this guy's shoe?
Who has cash? Who has cash?
Credit. Right. So that's a very good point is with these tourists, essentially they are, these tourist spies.
Yep.
It's like, it's actually, you can buy a tour. When you're in China, you can do the base tour. Just make sure to take lots of photos and send them to us.
But it's funny because in other more concerning incidents, they were saying that Chinese nationals arrived saying they had a reservation at a hotel on a military base.
Yeah.
And that a group of Chinese nationals purporting to be tourists tried to force their way past guards at Fort Wainwright in Alaska, claiming they had reservations at a commercial hotel on the base. So they're just playing dumb.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, this is where I'm staying.
But
it's a military base. No, I booked here.
Yeah, no. I've got a hotel. I've got a room at the Hyatt.
Yeah, yeah. Now, isn't this Airbnb?
Here's one of the interesting things about American bases, though. They are kind of like little chunks of America.
Oh, I know.
In and
like,
of itself.
Well, I had a stepfather who was in the Air Force, and we've lived on a base before, you know. And they're like mini little cities. We had a cinema on the base.
Yeah.
We had a pool on the base. You've got your little houses. It's like, it is kind of.
When I was in Qatar for the Asian Games, and we thought we're going to get a lot of Americans because the base in Qatar, the US base in Qatar, is the largest base outside of the US, right?
Yeah.
So we thought, we're going to get a lot of Americans. Saw three.
Right.
And I turned around to one of them and said, I would have expected to see a lot more of you guys around. He went, why? I went, well, huge sporting event. He went, yeah, but we've got all of this back at the base.
Mm.
And it's like, there is a shopping mall in there. There is a hotel in there. There's all of the things that you want. It's a little chunk of America. So the fact that they walked up and went, no, we booked a hotel room here. Yeah, we did it.
Pretty ballsy, though.
Yeah, bookings.com.
Yeah, pretty ballsy.
Or Vivago or whatever they used. Very ballsy. But that's the thing. Playing dumb is an extremely effective technique for any intelligence officer.
Oh, 100%.
The dumber the better, to be perfectly honest. I mean, I lasted for 7 years just by pleading stupid. Admittedly, I didn't really have to plead that hard. It was pretty obvious that I was.
I'm really stupid. We believe you.
Yeah. No, David, you're more than really stupid. You're intensely stupid.
Yeah.
But this is one of the things that we're going to see more and more.
Yeah.
And I did, as I've said, I've been, because I had a bad back, I've been delving a lot. And there's some really interesting stuff about China's current operations in the UK and also the UK's counter operation, so they're the lurk and the counter lurk that's going on.
Mm.
And I'd really like to talk about that in another episode. But yeah, the fact that we've got tourists running around doing this, it's really not that surprising.
Well, and they're saying, look, they haven't really gleaned much information, but it is to them more of a numbers game. They're just throwing enough mud at the wall and seeing what will stick.
Yeah, of course. Right. They basically take a chance.
Yeah.
It's very much like the Prime Minister I walked up to on the ferry the other day.
Okay, which we won't talk about that yet.
But basically, that moment when we went, oh, don't be that guy. And I went,
and then
no.
But you are that guy. You are.
Not normally. I just felt this was an important thing. Now, one last thing before we go.
Okay, go.
Right. It's about, because let's be honest, Russia aren't doing well in Ukraine at the moment. In fact, a lot of people are talking about how the Ukrainians have made quite a lot of inroads with their offensive, their counteroffensive that they've been running. Of course, we're getting to the end of summer, so that counteroffensive is going to have to make a lot more ground before winter sets in. But of course, the Americans are sending M1 Abraham tanks, and the UK and the US are also sending depleted uranium ammunition, which is... It's getting really freaking nasty. Yeah, that stuff is really, really nasty.
Yeah.
But the Russians, one of the things that's really interesting is the Russian propaganda war. The Russians have really controlled the narrative very solidly in Russia about what's going on in the Ukraine. And they've just recently released a movie, right? The movie is called The Witness. And it's a feature-length film about the Ukraine invasion. Special military operation. It centers on a fictional character called Daniel Cohen. Interesting name for a Russian. Daniel Cohen, an esteemed Belgian violinist who arrives in Kyiv to perform in February 2022, days before the Russian troops entered Ukraine. As Russia launches its special military operation, Cohen gets caught up in the fighting, witnessing a series of inhumane crimes and bloody provocations by Ukrainian nationalists, according to the movie's premise.
Okay.
An absolute flop at the box office.
I'm sure it was.
Not one Russian wants to go and watch it.
Weren't they forced to?
No. They're trying to keep it but basically they've created this huge.
Yeah.
Like
this is what we see and how America essentially like perpetrated the fall of, you know, communism. It's like that soft power where you try to get to people through things like, you know, movies and television and music and all of that kind of thing. Like extending soft power, I don't think is something that the Russians are good at. I think it's definitely something that America is good at. But
that's an interesting point that you made. The soft power that the Russians have when it comes
Russians more hard power.
The soft power that Russia exercise is more social media based, right?
Yeah, but
so the influence that they used, the influence they had in 2016,
but
in
that's
the election,
more of a control mechanism that they were able to feed the narrative because they were controlling it.
Yeah.
But like that's not even working anymore.
No, but we're onto it.
Yeah.
Right? The problem with soft power is once we're wise to it, we're wise to it.
No, but like I think soft power is more about like you want to emulate what the life that people are living and what they're doing in it.
Yeah.
It's not a directive from people. It's more about an idea that you want to be part of.
Yes. Now, I mean, there's a great podcast. In fact, it was one of the reasons why I was approached to create this podcast was Wings of Change.
Right.
The song that came out.
Wings of Change, I think we've spoken about that.
We have. Yep. But the brilliance of that was the conspiracy that's come out is the CIA paid for it, wrote it.
Yeah.
I reckon, and my theory behind it is actually the CIA probably went, geez, let's make sure everyone plays this.
Yeah.
Right, they might have financed getting it onto playlists, but I don't think they would have written the song. Let's give the band, I think, is it Scorpion?
Yeah,
give them the credit. They wrote an incredibly good song at just the right moment.
Yeah.
Right, it's one of those beautiful moments of synchronicity. Any intelligence influence and in that soft power milieu would be them going, how do we promote this song?
Yeah.
Right, because it's obviously having an impact on the population. Let's make sure it's heard.
Yeah.
Whereas what the Russians have done here with The Witness, what a great name.
The Witness.
If only it had Harrison Ford in it.
I know, I would watch it.
Yeah. What they've done here is they've pulled out the Wagner sledgehammer in movie form and gone, we're going to beat you over the head with the fact that they're all Nazis and we had to stop them.
Yeah.
That's basically it. And the fact that it wasn't a Russian character, they've made it a Belgian violinist. So, you know, a man who cares, who's soft and a good man, who's watched all of this evil. It's like, guys, you're the ones shelling everything inside. I mean, recently there was the worst civilian casualty rate was hit about a week ago when they lost a lot of territory. And basically every strategist is now saying every time the Ukrainians have a win, the Russians will hit the civilians.
Yeah.
And like they're disrupting the grain harvest at the moment in that they can't get it out. There's an interesting story about how they're doing that. But essentially the Russian soft power isn't even working on Russia anymore.
Oh, no. I think people have grown wise to it. And also, you know, there's a whole new generation that are very wise to it and are probably way more savvy than even Putin himself when it comes to soft power and social mediaisms.
Look, the guy's got hackers galore. He's got his hacker farms and his robot farms and all that sort of stuff going on. That's great. But when it comes to influencing the kid on the street, and that's who he really needs to influence, because without the kid on the street, his army stops.
Yeah.
Now, if they keep leaving the country, which they have been in droves, I mean, they've locked the borders, but if you're rich enough, you can get out. But the smart kids are just making sure that, no, we don't buy the narrative. And they're not buying the narrative.
Mm. So there we go.
We're back, baby.
We're back. We're up to date.
We've got a lot of really exciting stuff coming up.
We do. And also, keep your requests coming in at iSpied Podcast.
Please do, because, look, the funny thing was, I sat down about two days after you flew out for your Nordic intelligence training, and where you did your MCL.
Yeah.
I was in my office with my big whiteboard, and I had like an hour before I needed to be anywhere. And I went, I might just go through the, go through all of our messages and go on to Twitter and have a look. And the whiteboard was full in half an hour.
Great.
Right. So we got lots to talk about, and please do not hesitate in getting in touch.
Yeah. But we're going to do a deep dive in a few more things, and we're also going to do regular kind of catch-ups on the news in the spy world as well.
Yeah. Right. The funny thing is there's so many little stories that are going on. So occasionally we are just going to – little bite-sized things, but don't forget the history of the world is our little oyster.
Oh, I love it. I love an oyster.
Ooh, a good oyster.
Yeah.
And then a Bloody Mary with it.
Oh, I love a Bloody Mary.
I'm hungry.
Starving.
And thirsty.